Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Garbage, where we're wrapping up Mel Gibson's Mad Max trilogy.
Good. Great.
He had his time. Well, he will have his time after this one.
Do you mean in Judgment?
No, in Mad Max. No. He's in constant judgment of the Lord. He knows that better than anybody else.
Yeah, right.
He's making his new Jesus film, Jesus Goes to Hell and Fights Satan or whatever.
That sounds awesome.
It's called The Passion of Jesus Beating Up Satan. I don't know what it's called or what he's up to. It's a two-parter. It's a big thing. Jim Caviezel is back. It's a whole situation.
Great.
Yeah, great.
Terrific.
Anyway, that's great. Leave a like on this video because we're, of course, talking about Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
The weakest one.
It is.
Some say it's the best one, though. I learned recently.
Who says that?
It said it on Wikipedia.
It's better than I remember it, but yeah. I think I don't enjoy it as much as the other two.
This is the one that I suspect when we were kids played most on TV.
Yes.
Because it's the
Lord of the Flies one.
Yeah, it's the Lord of the Flies one.
It's the Peter Pan one.
It's the kid one. It's the family-friendly one. I mean, not super family-friendly.
No.
But it is. It's the cleanest and neatest and tidiest and...
Despite the lawless and grubby world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's all of those things. This one also, boys, at the 80s. I mean, the last one was made in the 80s.
That's right.
But this one's very serious about being the 80s.
In this post-apocalyptic 80s future, the only thing that is not in short supply is hairspray.
Oh, my goodness. How do you feel about Tina Turner's appearance and hairstyle? Because I love all of it. Oh, and song.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. You know, but as I understand it, the way this character, Auntie Entity, who's a character, sort of one of the lords of the new apocalypse.
Mm.
The idea was, as I understand it, and she's passed away quite recently,
yeah,
is that when they were making this movie, they wanted a character who, like everybody, had kind of lost it all in the apocalypse, but then sort of built herself up from nothing, which is sort of what happened to Tina Turner in real life. You know, she started out her music career with Ike Turner, mm-hmm, and they had a very tempestuous relationship. And when she got out of that, she was left with nothing, and mm-hmm, she was just like, I'm going to start again. And then she sort of became a bigger star than she had ever been.
Exactly.
And as I understand it, they went into this movie like, we should have a kind of character who is like Tina Turner.
Mm.
And eventually they went, should we ask Tina Turner?
And they didn't.
And then they didn't. She just showed up. I'm in Australia now. I'm going to be in your movie.
Yeah, it's incredible because she's not an actor. Mm. She wasn't before this, but just fits just right into this universe.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a few singer-songwriter performers in this. That's got Australia's own Angry Anderson.
Now, you know, I've had an encounter with
Angry Anderson. I was going to ask you about that.
One time I was in the Melbourne CBD with a friend of mine, and we were waiting at a traffic light, a pedestrian crossing, and the light turned green, but we were having a nice chat, so we didn't go immediately. And then from behind us, we heard a guy go, oh, come on! And we turned around, and it was musician, actor, Angry Anderson.
Not in a car?
We thought, no, just walking behind us with his boys, who were all like a foot taller than him, all dressed in black. And then we crossed the road very quickly, and we're like, he was angry at us. He did his signature move at us. This is the best day of our lives.
Oh, my goodness. I like the head on the stick that he's got, making himself bigger.
And that's his wife also?
Is it?
Maybe, because at the end he's in the car crash, and then he gives it a gentle petting.
Oh, okay, yeah, you know? No, you're right. He's having sex with that I didn't make the connection. I thought it was more like a teddy bear situation. What I love about this universe is that nobody except Mad Max remembers anything from before.
Right.
Everybody's just immediately turned into an absolute fucking lunatic. Mm-hmm. Except for him, he's like, this is kind of, I don't like this world. I've got a little bit of the old Max still in me.
Well, he's the only one who can hear the narrator who's explained what happened.
That might be it, yeah. So this also, it didn't start as a Mad Max film. It was a post-apocalyptic Lord of the Flies film.
Oh.
And then George Miller heard the idea and it was suggested that hey, you know what? This would make a great Mad Max redemption arc, finding his humanity again, finding his purpose. It's also set 15 years after the last.
Okay.
So it's quite a big time jump. And it nearly, like most Mad Max movies, didn't happen.
Course.
So producer Byron Kennedy, who was instrumental in getting the first one and second one off the ground, as instrumental as George Miller, I would say, he died while piloting a helicopter in 1983. So George Miller was like, this is kind of a thing that we did together.
Now that's tragic, of course, but it is also a classic 80s rich guy thing.
Oh my God, is it ever?
Just pilot a helicopter.
Yeah.
Over some big rocks or whatever.
And it's very Mad Max
across
as well,
isn't
it?
Across the Sydney Harbour. He probably flew that thing over the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Probably tried to do a loop-de-loop. That's probably what did him in right. the end. But yeah, I can't overstate how much of an impact he had on this franchise, getting it going, how integral he was. And George Miller, being kind of so devastated by this, wasn't going to do it, and then decided to co-direct it with George
Ogilvy,
that's right. So what people thought for a long time was that George Miller just did the action and Ogilvy did everything else, which is not true. They just kind of split it up.
Okay.
However, but I think it definitely has a different feel than the other ones.
That's how we do it as well, this sort of stuff. A lot of people think that you do write all the stuff and come up with the scheduling and do editing and I just show up, but we split it all.
That's right, yeah. And what do Ben and Lawrence do? We don't actually know.
We don't know.
You ask them. Speak to them about that, what they're up to. Though in saying that this feels different than the other ones, they all feel very different from each other.
They're
all unique, kind of in their own kind of mythological story. They sort of tie into each other, but they don't.
Different haircuts. He should have gone to those Feral Lost Kids way earlier than this, because I think they gave him a great haircut.
It's probably his best hair.
I think it is. It's got a little grey at the temples. Yeah, it's looking good.
He had a bit of that in the last one, but it's really coming into it. He also doesn't have his leg brace from the last movie, but he is still injured. You can see in some shots, one of his eyes is dilated, and that's the one that gets knocked in the previous one. So, yeah, I think that's fun. Also, is this the first example of a movie, and it probably isn't, where a guy's made to give up all his weapons and he's got so many weapons?
That's a great question.
I also feel like the amount of weapons he's pulling out isn't representative of the amount of weapons on the table. I feel like he's doubling up on some of them. Because
okay,
there's 5 or 6.
Okay,
but
sure.
I feel like the scene goes longer than that.
You think maybe he's being like, oh, wait, that's a hairdryer. I'll put that back. Deck of playing cards, chewing gum.
Yep.
Or is this dynamite? No, that's dynamite. You can have that, actually.
Yeah, so that's pretty fun. And what do you think of Thunderdome? And going into this, would you assume that this is what Thunderdome is?
Well, so, okay, what I would say overall is,
I've written Dirt de Soleil.
That's good.
Thank you.
I think the action overall is less spectacular than the previous one.
Feels less dangerous.
Probably
because it is.
Well, yeah, it is. But I'm wondering, I mean, I think it may be a part of, you know, this one is probably almost certainly directly influenced by the Hollywood system and what they think, you know, family audiences wanted or a broader audience. When John Woo came to America, he did some, you know, he did Face Off and he did, you know, some big action.
Paycheck.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's sort of...
No, he did it for a paycheck.
He did it for a paycheck.
He did it for the movie Paycheck.
That's true. You know how he's sort of flattened out. You know, it sort of became sort of just sort of leaning into the cliches and it made it sort of less interesting. I'm wondering if that's maybe one of the reasons that this was sort of made to look less dangerous and less gory to appease those bloody Hollywood number crunches. Or, I mean, maybe it's because after the death of Byron Kennedy, he was like, I don't want to put people in dangerous situations with huge...
I don't want to see really horrific accidents.
Exactly.
Like the one that happened to my friend.
So I completely understand that. But that being said, Thunderdome is dumb. As a kid, I remember it being way bigger. But it's just... It's like it's just two guys in a little cage with bungee cords. I remember it being outside, even.
Well, it sort of is outside.
Well, I mean, but it's this incredible spectator sport in this universe. And I don't know if it would be, because I feel like half the time it'd end in 1 second. Like he'd just run up to a guy and stab him with a fork or whatever and he'd die. And the other half would go for like an hour and a half. Just two idiots galumphing
trying
about
to work
on
it out.
Bungee cords. It doesn't look cool.
No, I agree. I think...
Although Roger Ebert really liked it. I've got to... Hang on, I'll find his quote.
It's not... I don't think it's terrible, but I think for a Mad Max universe, I don't think it's got the kind of... the gore or the danger to it.
Even though
it is like a... it's covered in spikes and everyone's got a sword and whatever.
Yep.
Or a chainsaw. I don't... it doesn't... It doesn't feel that...
Roger
compelling.
Ebert called it the first really original movie idea about how to stage a fight since we got the first karate movies, and one of the great creative action scenes in the movies.
Well, maybe that's true. Like, maybe this probably hadn't been seen before. It was the parkour of its day.
That's right.
Maybe for 10 years after, this appeared in movies that we haven't seen.
Absolutely.
The next James Bond movie, he's just bungeeing around.
I mean, he bungeed in GoldenEye, didn't he?
There we go.
Maybe that's why.
And we're talking
he
about it.
He bungeed into a toilet, as we all know.
He certainly did, yeah. Well, they've got some funny ideas because...
that's what the Australian movie industry is based on, isn't it?
A bunch of funny ideas.
A bunch of people with funny ideas.
Paul Hogan.
Alvin Purple.
Alvin Purple, yep. Yeah, there are...
And then the Paul Hogan, Alvin Purple sequels.
Exactly.
Paul Hogan meets Alvin Purple.
Paul Hogan and Alvin Purple go to Paris or whatever.
That's right.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, the story in this one is Mad Max, he showed up again. He's carless. Apparently his car is in the back of that that camel thing. We can talk about that a bit later and potential sequels and ideas that came after this that didn't happen. So, yeah, he's mostly a feral animal and he's just kind of wandering around trying to survive. And he gets drawn into this world by Tina Turner, who says, listen, I want you to throw off the other influencing force at Bartertown, who's like a little guy and a big guy. And you can fight...
Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, basically. And you can kill him in a big arena or whatever,
uh-huh.
and then we'll pay you whatever you want. He's like, cool, I'll do that. I'll do anything for money.
There's no way anyone would betray me in this universe.
No, it's all fine. Even though they try to betray him immediately. Mm. But then they're like, it's a test. And he's like, all right. I feel like the myth of him is really ramped up in this one because they're like, look how fast this guy is. And I'm like, he's fast-ish, I guess. He's not like crazy fast. Yeah.
But everybody's very slow.
I guess, from all the irradiated water they've been drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, so their idea of like entertainment is bungee jumping, Thunderdome.
Mm.
And then their idea of a gulag is you put a person on a horse and then... backwards, and then you put like a big fake head on them, and then you just send them out into the desert.
Uh-huh.
Also, you probably need that horse. This is probably an expensive endeavor.
Yeah, you know, you could also hit him in the back of the head with a spade.
Yeah, and also, like, if you've got a big spinning wheel, there's some great options on there.
Uh-huh.
Like, sending someone out in the desert to die, that's not exactly like a thrill a minute. Everyone goes, yay! Well, he's gone.
Yeah, right.
It's not really anything.
No.
Yeah. But anyway.
And also, the horse does die.
That's true.
So they're not even getting that back. It's not even coming back
later, I assume. That's what I'm saying.
In fact, it was killed in the manner of all our childhood fears, which is quicksand.
That's right, yeah.
Encountered very little quicksand in my adult life, if I'm honest.
And you know what? This is an enduring legacy for horses drowning, if you've seen The Neverending Story. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I love it. It's a staple of my childhood.
Staple of your childhood.
Thank you. Just watching a horse drown. Also, the pilot's back in this, but it's a different pilot. This is Jebediah.
Mm.
George Miller has stated definitively that he...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother. Or sales. I definitely prefer. Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. He's a different pilot.
Are they brothers? Has George Miller definitively said whether or not they're brothers?
He hasn't said that, no.
Interesting.
I mean, my question to this is just, why? Like, he could just be the same guy.
Yeah.
But I guess somebody telling the story is like, this is the archetype of a pilot. This is what they look like.
That's right. Bruce Spence.
This guy.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a bunch of these dudes running around. Maybe they're coming out of a cloning facility.
Maybe there's a cloning facility.
I don't know.
We have to check the comics or the video game if there's a Bruce Spence cloning facility.
We should actually do that. Yeah. But yeah, it definitely takes a turn into like Ewok Village.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I like the idea for this that they got like a whole bunch of different kids of different ages. There's actors and gymnastics peoples.
Musicians.
They auditioned like 1,800 kids to find this particular group. And if you watch the behind the scenes stuff, it's fun. They're all like having a good time and writing little songs and all of that.
Have any of them gone on to become famous people? Are
yes.
any of them Silverchair, for example?
No, one of them.
Is any of them Silverchair?
One of them is Silverchair. One of them is Justine Clark, who you might know.
Oh!
Who's great, from Play School and various other things.
There you go.
But started off in Mad Max.
Are any of them Grinspoon, the band Grinspoon?
I don't think any of them are the band Grinspoon, Mason. I don't think any of them are in the band The Living End either. Not even that guy who's playing the big standy uppy electric bass.
Area 7? Australian ska band Area 7.
One of them might be from Area 7.
28 Days.
Interesting.
Any of them?
No, I don't believe so. Okay. I don't want to rule it out.
Okay, sure.
Are any of them from the band Body Jar, do you think?
Some of them might be Body Jar.
This is what people like, I think, just naming things they don't know.
That's right. Get on Spotify, folks. They're all there.
Check it all out.
You like late 90s Australian pop punk? You won't.
There's some good stuff in there.
I agree.
I won't hear a word against it. Is the train stunt, does it live up to the truck?
No.
Of the I'll
stop you there.
I see where they're going. Uh-huh. Like the idea of it and watching again the behind the scenes, the mechanics of it and getting that plane to take off. You know, having that, you know, if you've got a train on a track and you've got to reset that stunt, that's a very difficult thing to kind of pull off. George Miller's wearing like an old timey kind of like hunter's, you know, those like bell shaped hats on set.
Sure. He looks,
which is a lot of fun.
It's good. But it's good, but it exists in the in-between state of like it's not as frenetic and like genuinely dangerous looking as the Road Warrior.
Yeah.
And it's not as kind of visual effects assisted chaos and with the years of experience in directing of Fury Road, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's somewhere else. Yeah, it's somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. So what's interesting is they got back Dennis Williams, the guy who rolled the Mack truck from the Road Warrior.
Uh-huh.
He was involved in a stunt where a train destroys a car or something like that. Happens at least once in this whole segment.
Sure, okay.
I wasn't glued to it. Honestly, right? I'm trying to think back to like what specific part he did, but I can't even think. Like I think about the Road Warrior and I can picture that entire sequence.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's kind of...
This one is a little bit muddled and it's even a little bit Looney Tunes in the sense that at one point Angry Anderson's on the front of a train and it explodes.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's just fine later. He's just a bit dusty.
He's a bit dusty,
and
isn't he?
And some of his teeth have become piano keys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's got a big... lump on his head that springs out.
Do you think this is a nod to Slim Dusty, famous Australian country musician?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Anyway, so after Dennis Miller performed a stunt, he sustained burns to his left arm and shoulder and was transported to a hospital via helicopter. So again, he came back for probably no money to perform a very dangerous stunt.
But he did it for the exposure.
He did it for the
exposure. And we all know Dennis Miller.
I fucking did this last week. His name is Dennis Williams. I'm a moron.
Nah, you're cool.
Ah, thanks, man.
What if we both do two clean edits of us saying Dennis Williams and Dennis Miller, and then you can cut them in?
Okay, I'll do that. Like. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, do you know what it's time for?
What's the time for?
Beyond Thun Trivia.
It's your worst one yet.
They're supposed to be bad. Don't you realize that?
No, but there's a fine line there, I think.
Oh, okay.
This was your Beyond Thunderdome of making a funny trivia name.
Well, then next week is going to be incredible. Is it dismayed by that logic?
Probably.
Anyway, Tina Turner
I think you'll be inspired by Fury Road. To
I
come
probably
up with a really
will.
Good name.
Yeah, yeah. Tina Turner had to shave her head for the wig to fit perfectly, which she did. She was cool with it, and that's great.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. 400...
Really, if you're going to sign on for a Mad Max movie, you're going to have to expect they're going to do something dumb with your
Get
hair,
Get ready
right?
for an atrocious haircut.
Right?
Yeah.
Think of the worst haircut you've ever seen on an Australian. It's going to be worse. Now sign on that dotted line.
400 pigs had to be used for the pig sequence, but
and they were numbered one to.
Oh, here we go. Is that joke? Everyone,
they'd be numbered 1 to 401.
Oh my god!
And then you'd be like at the end of the production schedule, you'd be like, where's number 398? I can't find it. It doesn't exist.
It's not there. They killed it. Though in using that many pigs, the local council took them to court about being out. The council's typical, right?
Right. Bloody nanny state.
Yeah, yeah. To stop them from doing so. So for them to be able to use that many pigs, it was under strict conditions. So everybody had to wear white protective gear when handling them and filming them and all of that. And everybody had to be disinfected coming in and out. It was very controlled and contained, which I feel like if they had 400 pigs in the first movie, they would have just shot them all at the end.
Yeah.
Just left them right there.
They would have left them out there to breed and would have... We have so many feral hogs in this country right now.
More than we already have?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is fun. Do you like politics?
No.
This is fun. Angry Anderson's character Ironbar was named in mocking reference to Australian politician Wilson Ironbar Tuckey. Tuckey was convicted of assault after striking an Aboriginal man with a length of steel cable and fined $50. The man was allegedly being held down by Tuckey's brother at the time. So that's where he got the name from. This famous politician did this thing and then became a politician.
I think that's bad.
I also think it's bad, and I'm glad he's dead. He's probably dead. If you're alive, I fucking hope you're not. I'm not wishing him dead.
Are you sure? Rest in peace, mate.
This is fun. This is a bit of a throwback.
Okay.
Now, they had to work with camels for this. Mm-hmm. Matthew Max's, you know, it was pulled along by camels. Everybody on set apparently hated the lead camel. He was a real prick, even for a camel.
Wow.
Just like really indignant. And his name, of course, was Rodney. Because people will appreciate that and they'll write it in the comments. And we'll see it. And we'll reply to every one of them.
That's correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Anyways, the box office for this on a budget of $10 million, which I think was the most expensive Australian production of the time. It made $36
million. Okay, that's not a bad return.
No, it's all right. And again, it played for years. That's true. It's the one that you've probably seen on TV, well, in Australia at least. And in terms of sequels, yes, we eventually got to Fury Road, which we'll talk about next week. But I want to talk about what they were sort of going to do instead of that.
I will allow it.
Okay, thank goodness. You're not going to take me to local council court and fight me on it?
I mean, maybe later.
Okay, cool. So originally this was supposed to be the final in the trilogy. That was the...
I mean, if they did another one,
doesn't make
it wouldn't
sense.
Be a trilogy anymore, would it?
The Indiana Jones trilogy, I don't even understand it anymore. Do you understand it? It's not even two trilogies.
Right?
It's a trilogy and then two other movies?
Do another one so we can at least have the Indiana Jones two trilogies. And I can get the Indiana Jones two trilogies box set.
That's right. One good trilogy and one really good trilogy. And you get to decide which is which.
That's right.
Yeah. George Miller initially planned to bring Mad Max to the small screen, and he actually started developing a TV series in the 80s with John Blake to star. But John Blake's acting career was ended when he sustained permanent brain damage in an auto accident.
Damn.
So that was put on hold for a while. But then he revived the idea in the 90s. There was even a Variety article about it. And the idea was that this was going to be more low on violence, more adventure of the week, kind of a Xena Warrior Princess show. Where it was about not so much him like going out into the wasteland and like shooting a bunch of people with the one bullet that he has. He
get
was
him to line up Indiana Jones style.
Yeah, he was
in the bad trilogy.
he was doing odd jobs for people to get parts for his car.
Ah,
and that was sort of worked into a comic, which explains why he has that car at the start of Fury Road for like a minute before he flips it like immediately. Sure. So that's not the same car, but if there is any kind of continuity in this, it's because of that. But if you actually want like a lead up into Fury Road outside of the comics, which is like the official thing, George Miller was actually developing a video game with Corey Balrog, who's been working on, of late, the new God of War games.
Oh, I mean, that's appropriate given his name is Balrog.
Exactly.
Is that a stage name?
No, I think that's his real name.
Huh.
You got a problem with that?
Just cool. Is he related to the Balrog?
Yeah, he's related to the Balrog.
From the Lord of the Rings.
Of Khazad Dûm, yes, Mason, he is.
Okay.
And so they started developing this game together and with using all these concepts that they developed and, you know, things like the war boys and like what the wasteland will look like and different locations and aesthetics and different cars and all of that. And there's a lot of overlap in that and Fury Road.
All right.
But George Miller stepped away from that. Warner Brothers owned the concepts that they put together for that game and put it into the Mad Max video game from 2015 without George Miller's involvement. But that's also why it's so similar to Fury Road, because it's sort of a prequel to Fury Road, but not really. Like anything in the Mad Max universe, it's not really connected to anything. Or it sort of is.
Which is very convenient. Mm. Star Wars should have done that.
Yeah.
They should have taken a page out of George Miller's book and been like, yeah, this next one?
Yeah,
maybe related.
You're talking about the good trilogy, the really good trilogy, or the best trilogy?
All of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, this actually doesn't make sense. The lightsaber's a different side. Yeah, it's not really connected. You're stupid for pointing that out. Actually, it's not really connected. There's a narrator at the front at the start of every one, and he's like, "This is actually not really connected."
Yeah, you're being pedantic.
Also, I'm a different guy.
Yeah. You're robbing the magic from this. All right. Anyways, if you want to come back next week, we are talking about Fury Road, aren't we?
Yes.
My goodness. Excited for that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good from memory. And I hope it is still very good.
Me too. I hope I don't find any small flaws in it upon a rewatch that ruin it for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, actually, Thunderdome's the best one.
You're not going to say that. But anyways, if you do want to see that early, you can actually head over to bigsandwich.co, where guess what?
What?
There's bonus podcasts up there. There's movie commentaries. We do video game Let's Plays. Expect to see some Mad Max content coming up very soon.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Not to spoil it, but there's 3-ish Mad Max games, and we're going to be looking at all of them.
Great. Are some of them good?
One of them is good.
And we're playing several.
There's 3.
Ugh.
And one of them's not really a Mad Max game.
Okay, right.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. Again, that's over at bigsandwich.co, where it's $9 a month, and it really helps out this channel. It helps us keep these sponsorship free. Not YouTube ad free. I'm running ads on this. Don't you worry about
that's
that,
all right? That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's between you and YouTube Premium, all right?
Yeah, you figure that out. Or you do use an ad block. I don't know what you're up to. Do whatever you want. That's fine. But I'm just telling you, bigsandwich.co is an option.
That's right.
To support us.
Yeah, otherwise we have to hawk, you know, protein supplements or whatever. And nobody would believe that. Look at us.
Yeah. We're so spindly.
We're spindly.
And sickly.
Yeah.
I'm on TRT. But I don't work out. It's just that. I TRT and then I sleep. Okay, I just really absorb it.
I don't know what that is, but it
testosterone
sounds,
replacement therapy, Mason.
Sounds dangerous.
No, no, it's cool. Okay. And I look normal, actually.
It's great.
Some people think better than normal, a little bit
That's
better.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good for you, man.
Yeah.
Can you name a person who thinks that?
Can I name a person?
Who thinks that no, thing you said?
I can name so many people.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.